live for episode 63 or 64 of the Hughes Sports Podcast. Pretty sure it's episode 64. I typed in 63. It's a whole thing. We won't get into it. I am your host, of course, Jake Hughes, alongside the old man. Old man, how the hell are you doing today?
I'm good, except I don't know what episode it is, and it kind of throws me off. Now, if I have an off show, I'm going to blame it on the fact that you didn't do your job.
I don't think that's how that works.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's how it works, but hey, I'm not going to judge you if you have an off show.
Let's put a disclaimer out before we start. Uh-oh. We are not responsible for anything that is said tonight.
Sure we are. It's our show.
Okay.
Nah, to be fair, we're responsible for what comes out of our mouths on the show. No one else's. Let's make that distinction.
We do not endorse our guests. No.
Reason we say that is because we are bringing in our special guest, the newest Canadian poker ambassador for Cool Bets, and friend of the show, Kelly Kellner. Kelly, how are you doing?
I'm good. Jake, you know, I've known him to you since you were a young boy. You always had trouble with math and numbers. I remember you were good at counting to 10, 21, something like that. But I heard a little reference to the old man. Boy, let me tell you something. A little respect for the old dudes here. We are not old. You are just still a baby boy. And I would call you a gentleman, but you got to get three ladies' numbers in your black book before you earn that right.
Oof.
What's a black book? Yeah. And they got to be girls that you actually meet in real life.
What's a black book? Like matches on Tinder?
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, your dad's going to have that talk with you one day, and I'm going to have to explain things to him first. But once he does, that's part of it. You boys are going to learn something from the mania, good old Kelster mania. Very pleased to be on the show. Last time, I believe I was in Vegas, and I was a little astray between various sports books. So I missed the last invite. But I just wanted to make sure that you got all the wrinkles out before you get a power guest on. Young Mr. Hughes, you are wearing pants during the podcast, are you?
Of course.
Yes, exactly. We won't ask you to stand up. But, gentlemen, thank you for having me on. Feels to be good to be part of the Hughes Sports Podcast Nation. I am elevated in my humanity because of this moment.
Hey, dude. We've been friends for a long time. Geez, it's got to be well over a decade now that we.
I remember when I met you in front of the Canadian Poker Tour sign at the Grey Eagle Casino. You were the young, innocent boy looking to get invited into the game and into the world. And I think you've grown in your maturity as a poker player and quite a lovely young man, as my mother said when she saw your picture online.
You're a nutcase. So. Before we get into I want to hear what's going on with Kelster Mania. You've got some huge effing news, don't you, buddy?
Oh, buddy, my life. The last couple of weeks have been absolutely spectacular. I've had a number of things happen. I had a bit of a run December 6th. Our company, our family, and myself personally had quite an attack. Business-wise, it was pretty ruthless. So you haven't seen me online for about 4 months. That situation is becoming resolved through lawyers and the authorities. So I'm feeling back, but really I've learned a lot about trust and loyalty. Took my relationships with a number of people. You know, when you have people that are close to you that go rogue, it's sad, but it's taught me a lot about myself. So I appreciate now coming in back into the Kelster Mania 2.0, really appreciating every moment, everything, every friend, those that stay loyal and those that are powerful and good people. You have to keep that core close and tight. And so now I've recently been on a couple of trips here last week, thanks to a very, very cool business partner and friend from Edmonton. She just really helped me facilitate a number of things that accelerated business, accelerated my own personal growth in terms of playing poker and being able to get ready for the evolution of a number of our companies, our media platforms, and my poker game. So first of all, I was started off by going to WPT Amsterdam to play their prime event and have some meetings with the WPT Global management. Fantastic experience. I've never been in Amsterdam. Boys, they have 88 canals. They have so many canals and the history, you know, being one of the cities in Europe that was never really bombed or destroyed during during the wars was so fascinating to see the culture and the architecture remain pure. There's not a lot of new age buildings. It's just the history was so rich. The food, the experience, the culture, the cheese, the Amsterdam cheese store, big shout out to them. My charcuterie game has gone next level. boys, I am happy. I am very sincerely, intrinsically happy with how my life is coming by being a character and being a business person and being just a player in the poker, sports betting, gaming culture and gaming world. I can tell you that Kevin, as a dear friend, I appreciate you and your support. The beers we had at local last time there really bringing some balance and friendship into my life. So that Jake, one day we're going to take you to a bar. We're going to teach you some manners and how to talk to the pretty waitresses. But that's going to be a good experience for you. And I'm going to buy you for either your birthday or Valentine's Day a little actual black book. You write a girl's name and you write her number down. Now it's going to be good. So WPT Amsterdam was fantastic. Started a series of events that I came home and then with the help of my friend Allison, she was able to facilitate putting together a series of meetings within our company on the WPT voyage. So a week and 3 days ago, flew down to Miami, and we were able to get a great cabin on the Virgin Cruise Line. So we had a nice oversized balcony cabin that I was in, and what a great ship! But it was a complete takeover by World Poker Tour. So you know, I've been in the poker world since 2004. Jesus, Kevin, that's 20 years, wow. Which is hard to believe, seeing I'm only 24 years old myself. I'm maturing valiantly right now,
so let's jump forward. We only have you for a short time.
Yes, so I'm gonna try to make you tell
a long story short, because yes. Kelly's the only guy I know that could tell a short story long.
I tell you an extra 2 minute story in 25 minutes. So a couple of things happened on the cruise. First event, played the seniors tour. I know it's shocking. I got some fake ID, so it makes it actually get in. I've actually run really well in seniors events. So I came 11th out of 188. Made a strong move at the end that normally should have worked, but it didn't. And so cashed for 960 US in that, which was my buy-in into the WPT Prime. I played day 1B. Which went late. It was a huge field, $500,000 guarantee, which they hit on day the second starting day, and then doubled the guarantee on the third day. 5:15 in the morning, we're still playing, and this is a great example of patience and discipline. I was able to, I was down to 32,000 chips, blinds were 5 and 10. I was on tilt because one of the WPT pros was very, very drunk at the table behind me. And so between playing to the floor and everything, and on tilt with 3.2 blinds left, pocket sixes got called by ace 10 and then by ace queen. I held two hands later, pocket kings, fold re-raise. I jam, guy behind me calls. Other two guys fold and faded the ace on the ace six, ace queen that he had. Nice. So I was able to go from 32,000 to 324,000 going into day B, which was the money. And make a long story short, I came 11th for 12,500 US. Again, made a strong move into two players that I had a great read on, and just got unlucky. And you know, poker is about, it's very much like chasing girls. It's all about getting lucky. So happy with the two cashes. That worked well, and then followed it up by coming home, had my son Kyle, who's become quite the player himself, come over and had a deep run in the Sunday million, $8 million guaranteed. I actually re-entered day two with 20,000 against an 80,000 stack, and came 459th out of about 40,000 players. Wow. So that was another couple grand. My street cred is back. I'm running good. I'm playing great, and God bless poker.
And so good that just before all that happened, you were named the ambassador, the Canadian ambassador for Cool Bets.
Cool Bet, just think of coolbet.com. I've known that company for a number of years. I've had a few friends work for them. They are very prominent in Europe, specifically the Baltics and around in the Scandinavian countries. And so I met Sven, their head of poker, in Bratislava in December in Slovakia. I went for the King. Where was that? No, that was the WSOP circuit in town that I went for. I went to the festival series in Bratislava after Tallinn. I've been having some great poker tourism experiences. I want to touch on that briefly, and we're going to show people, show your viewers, how you can win your way. Come and hang out with me. Kevin, I want to see you on a trip. And Jake, there's a thing called a passport. We're going to get you one of those, my little baby boy. Well, we're going to take you around the world.
I'm going to Europe in May.
Oh, my God.
Going to Europe in May, so.
Oh, my God. Well, there's some great events coming up in May. In fact, I'm off to Malta next week for the Malta Poker Festival. There's a big announcement coming on me becoming, may as well leak it out a little bit. It looks like I will be becoming their Canadian ambassador as well, too. But so with Coolbet, I am their Canadian ambassador, as they do not have a lot of market penetration in the Canadian market. So they've got a tremendous platform. They're on the iPoker network for poker. So great platform with liquidity, which is always key. A lot of European players, and I love playing against these young aggressive kids in Europe.
If people don't know, and a lot of people who watch our show won't know European poker players, uber aggressive.
Yeah, you know, tight is right when you're playing poker, and that also applies to a couple of other things in life. But I want to tell you about how important patience and discipline in picking your stacks is. Take a look. Like, I had a ton of spots where I'm 15 bigs, down to 12, down to 10, down to 8, down to 3.2 big blinds. And I was able to spin that up into a $12,500 U.S. win. It takes character and it takes experience. I'm telling you, grind it out and read and study and watch players. Why does Daniel Negreanu, why does Phil Hellmuth, why do these guys cash on a higher percentage than other players? It's because they know to be patient and pick their spots. Don't get crazy when you go card debt, because know that that turns. Everything changes if you wait long enough. Like the weather in Calgary in 20 minutes, your poker hands will get better. So with Coolbet, it just worked out so well. We accelerated the announcement, just giving the timing. Given my recent success, I find that when you get on a heater, you see there's a lot of people. You just seem to have an adjustment. And I have it's almost like a mental choice that I just click into a mode where it's every decision becomes just so easy. There's times I had a hand where I folded aces pre-flop because I had blinds were down, tournament was consolidating. So I had under the gun, did a 3x raise. Next guy went all in. A guy after him goes all in, fold, all in. So I've got this where we're now close to the bubble. This is in the seniors. And I'm on the button with aces. Of course you think, that's a natural gem. How many pairs, how many people are going to hit us? You know, we're up against other pairs. I've got a hold against Joe's. So I folded because we had two spots to the money. I would have lost. Two guys had sets. So you just need to make great, great choices. Phil Hellmuth, we had a great time in Palo Alto with my dear friend, the late Gavin Smith, the late Lane Flock. We've lost some beauties in this game. Joe Seabach was there, Matt Savage was there, but hosted by Phil Hellmuth. And after the bar, Hellmuth got two limos. We went back to his place for a big home game at home. And this was not long after Huck Seed won my CPT Canadian Open Poker Championship main event. Huck asked Phil if he would write the article in Canadian Poker Player magazine, which I published at the time. So Phil took me, grabbed my hand, 2 o'clock in the morning. Phil always grabs my hand, says, "Kelster, come with me." And we go down the hall. I don't know what the hell's going on. It may have been one of my Gator poker moments. But anyways, brings me into his office, opens up the print, opens a bottle of Cristal, and we sat there and played heads up and talked poker until 5:30 in the morning. Wow. He said a couple of things that I use in my mental processing every day. The bigger the fold you make, the better player you become, because you will never bust making a big laydown. So yeah. I use that into my analysis of do I jam? I learned from, and I learned this very not long after that. I was at the WSOP again with Gavin, and we had a crew of us having some drinks in the front bar at the Rio, and so I'm there with a ton of poker pros, and Negreanu comes up to join the group, and he was ecstatic. He was so pumped because he came to the table saying, "Guys, I am so excited. I never had all of my chips in any time today. I'm just so pumped. I made great choices." And I'm sitting there going, "Are you kidding me?" Because my thought in the early stages of poker is, I want to get all my chips in the pot as many times as possible with a wickedly great hand. Top pair, top kicker, Kilster Mania, away we go. Not noticing that there's four clubs on the board and a 7, 8, 9, 10. And so that transition turned me into a winning poker player, where I had to shift the pendulum completely to the other side, going, I do not want to risk all my chips unless I have that stone cold nuts. I do not want to get all my chips in the pot unless I know that I am not at risk.
That transition to playing good poker to playing great poker.
Yes, exactly. So once, Kevin, I get you to playing good poker, then I'll teach you how to make that next step. And maybe we'll get you to cash in an event.
Yes, so, Kelly and I go back quite a few years playing poker against each other. But one of the reasons we wanted to bring you on today was we wanted to do a little segment that we called what was it called, Jake? Betting for Dummies.
Sports Betting for Dummies.
Betting for Dummies.
Oh, that's original. Did you come up with that yourself, Jake?
I did. I should probably start a line of books.
Yeah.
Explaining how to do things for people.
Excellent. So, and you are reading now full book, full sentences, story?
Partially.
Yeah. No, there's some
audio books. It's so much easier nowadays. You don't have to read. Yeah. You can just look and have it in your ear.
There's some great Dr. Seuss stuff. Kev, I'll get you some links. You can sit down when you tuck that baby boy in his Wayne Gretzky pajamas with the feet in the bottom and the trap door cut out of the back because he likes a little breeze. Jake, I love you. Just can I co-adopt you so I can help parent you to being a wonderful boy when you grow up?
Oh, God, no.
I've got a lot of parents on the go right now.
God. Okay. Well, when you're ready to go to the next level, you get into the world of the mania, because what you're going to do when the mania runs wild over you, Jake, you're going to be the best boy one day. I promise you.
So back to Sports Betting for Dummies. Keep on track here, Kelly.
Yes, sir.
You've been in this sports betting field for many, many years. Had a show, did your own. Do you still do it? Do you still
have? Yeah, we still do. So we have a website and a brand called Game Changers. It's with a Z at the end or a Z, depending on the parallel in North America that you live in. But we put out free picks and we sell our picks and plays. We give you some of the best links to the biggest deposit bonuses and offers from sports books. But the idea behind this is teaching people how to bet smarter, using risk mitigation strategies, money management strategies. That means like taking less risk. I love you. I love busting your balls. Risk mitigation and insuring bets. So, very quickly come at some of the points, and we're going to be doing a lot of this at coolbet.com. So we're going to put up some links, where we've got some special incentives and gifts for your listeners, to be able to get subscriptions for free, to Game Changers, to our various platforms. You can subscribe and get a daily pick, my daily picks, what I'm personally playing that night. If you don't want to take the time and do your research and just follow, the best advice I can give is by making the choices that I make. And I'm making very good choices. So we play a lot of round robins. Now, a round robin, it's called a number of different things on different sites, but round robin primarily is where you play permutations and combinations, where you put a various number of games together, but you play parlays between all of them. So I typically play a five-team round robin, where I play all three team parlays or all three team combinations. So that's permutations and combinations. I learned that in grade eight, Jake. I think when you get to grade eight, you're gonna really, really grab onto that as well too. Basically, what it does, it's five choose three. So there's 10 combinations, or you could do a 6x4, which is 15 combinations of four teams within the six team set that you play. Why do you do that? You need to fade variance. Going 5 out of 5 is tough. Yes. There are, there's so many things that can happen. A guy hits a 3 at the buzzer and you lose by the hook. Empty net goal. Guy ties it up. So there's so many reasons. And I like to play puck lines and run lines. I like to do a lot of things that helps me get plus money in the parlays. And when you multiply that together, that's how you go and bust your bookie. So I think that was last night. So I had a round robin. We have one of our featured handicappers at GameChangers.ca goes by the name New York Pele. He's out of New York. He's just a fantastic dear friend. He was in my wedding party. The marriage didn't work out, but the friendship with him did. And he is now handicapping the umpire rotations in Major League Baseball. Now think about this. We do our standard handicapping around weather, pitching matchups, trends, momentum, all of these different things. But the umpires in a series rotate every game. And so we have years of statistical data. So we know certain umpires have a smaller strike zone rather than other ones. What does a smaller strike zone mean? It means you're going to have more balls, which means you're going to have more walks, more runners in play. That skews 74.2% to the over. Now, he's a documented 17-4 in his over since the start of the season. He was 2-0 last night. We had the Dodgers over and we got a little bit lucky on that, but we had two single run shots in the bottom of the ninth. Had the game go from 6-1 to 6-3. We had the over 8, so we were looking for one run for the push, but we got the extra one. But in hockey, I like playing puck lines just because you get so many goals in.
I'm going to slow you down, which is almost an impossibility to slow a fucking Calster mania down. Yeah. When we say puck line, explain that.
We're laying a goal and a half, so your team has to win by 2 goals. So last night, the Winnipeg Jets, that was the game I lost last night. I hit the Toronto Maple Leafs to win by 2 goals. They won 5-2. I had Florida, they won 2-0. But instead of it just paying even money, when you win by 2 goals, it'll pay plus 190 or plus 200 because it's harder to hit. And when you multiply those in a round robin, you get your standard parlay payouts. 3-team parlay pays 6-1, 4-team parlay pays 10-1, 5-team parlay pays 20-1. But when you multiply underdogs in there, you'll take that 5-team parlay and the standard 20-1 plus the 2-1 that you'll get on winning a puck line or a run line in baseball where you have to win by 2 runs. That's sometimes a little tricky because when you get a walk off or you get them in the bottom of the ninth, the only way you're going to hit that run line is if you get a 2-run or a 3-run shot. Miracles do happen. But so by being able to put those together, I went 4-5 last night. So I basically quadrupled my money. Had the Winnipeg Jets, they were up 3-1 in Minnesota at the start of the third. Gave up a goal, gave up another, tied it up, and they won in overtime. So that sucks because I only went 4-5. So I won 4 of my 10 parlays, and then I play the 1 5-team parlay. So I would have won another $1,800 US. But you can't hit 5 out of 5 every day. So any day, if you hit 3 out of 5, you get your money back plus a little profit if you've got some plus money in there. 4 out of 5, you'll get anywhere from 3.5 to 6 times your money. And when you hit 5 out of 5, it's a party night. You're straight out drinking the champagne and doing yet your bomb shots.
So at Game Changers, yes. going into the, obviously we're only, 2 weeks away, less than 2 weeks away now from the hockey playoffs starting, and yep. We're a hockey show. Do you do a lot of betting on the playoffs, or is it something you guys delve into?
Yes, absolutely. So you know, outside of the round robins and the parlays, a lot of series props, those type of things are fun to do. And then the, you know, looking at, you know, divisional winners, conference winners, and ultimately the Stanley Cup winners, there's some great odds out there. And as we get a little closer, if you guys want to have me back on, I will be able to go through and look at the great value money plays where you can get a team that's got great momentum that looks going to go really well, you know, and bet one in each division so that hopefully you can go right through. And, you know, you've got both teams with 8-1, 10-1, 12-1 bet returns meeting each other in the Stanley Cup playoffs. 2 years ago, our two teams that we picked actually met in the playoffs. So then you can insure your bets because you know you're going to win one way or the other. So there's ways that you can do insurance bets, not only on your prop bets, but as well on the round robins. One of the strategies that we teach is always make sure you have one game or two if it works out, but one game left on the West Coast. Because last night, for example, I didn't have the opportunity. So I'd won the first three games. I got the first two overs at the Tampa Bay Marlins game over, which went over nicely. Last night was a late game, the Tampa Anaheim game. But if you've got 4 out of 5 and you're into that last game, you can make an insurance bet and live bet the other side so you can hedge and lock in profits. Now, what I like to do is a strategy where, say, so we had the over in that Anaheim game, and it was over 8.5. So they scored, I think, 2 runs each. It was 2-2 after the second inning. You can go in and live bet the total, which at that point after the second inning was 10.5. So you can bet the under as a single game bet. What does that do for you? If they stop and the game ends 3-2, you lose that big part of profit in your parlay. You can lock in profit by knowing that if it goes under 10.5, you're automatically going to win that bet. Now, because of the multiple effect of the round robins, where you've got where that last game pays you another 6 3-team parlays and your 5-team parlay, so you've got 1600 profit in there, I could say bet $1,000 on the under. Now I'm guaranteed $1,000 profit. What's nice is when you have that spread. So if you got over 8, if it hits on 8, you push. If it hits 9 or 10, because you've bet the other 10.5, you middle it and you make both bets and you've insured your bet. So you lock in profit. It's money management. Crazy things happen in sports all the time. So yeah, and they'll give you lines too, where you could say, play if the line is 10.5 at even money, you could play under 9.5 for +140. So now less range to middle, but you're risking less to win more. Right. And again, that's risk mitigation. So
very cool.
Other thing I like doing in betting hockey playoffs is too, where you can bet the puck line. So last night, you've got the Winnipeg Jets. This is a great example. Winnipeg Jets after the second period are they're up 3-1, and you have them to win by 2 goals. You can bet it's easier if they're up a little bit more. So say they were up 4-1. The only way you're going to lose that bet is if Minnesota scores 2 goals. So you've got a total of 4. You can live bet under 6.5. And again, lock in that profit, but you're getting plus money. So what happens then if Minnesota scores a goal and Winnipeg scores a goal, you've now got your over. And if your team keeps scoring and playing well, but you've locked in that profit. Same works for baseball. I'll give you a quick example in baseball. So you got the Dodgers and the Dodgers in San Francisco. And you love the Dodgers. You love the pitching matchup. You love the weather in LA. They're home. And you've got the -1.5 +200. So rather than just getting even money on your bet if they're close, you win 2-1 if they win by two runs. So they get a good start. They're up, say, 6-1 in the second inning. You look at your live bet totals. The total on that game now is going to move up. So the only way you're going to lose that bet is if San Francisco scores 4 runs. And and the Dodgers don't score anymore. So now you've got 7 + 4 = 11. You bet the under 10.5 or under 11.5, which is your live bet total. There's your insurance bet. You've locked in profit. But if it's early in the game and you got to watch a lot, but there's enough baseball games every day that you can find these spots, and you got to love your favorite. But that, you know, if your team's a favorite, if Houston is a -150 favorite, you're still getting +130, +140 on the run line. So you then bet the over 11.5 as a hedge, as your insurance bet. All of a sudden, you look next coming innings, San Francisco scores 2 runs, but so do the Dodgers. Now you've hit your over, you've hit your insurance bet. That's locked in and won, but now they're up 8-3. So what do? Rebet the hedge bet. Your live total moves up to 13.5. You bet the under in that couple innings. I had one game about 3 years ago where I was able to bet and win the hedge insurance bet 4 times on the over because both teams kept scoring. So nice. Now I've got 2x on my original bet, and I've got 4x on my hedge bets. It's so easy. But it's taking the risk out of gambling. It is taking and locking in mathematically. It's taking in those bets. So, Jake, when you're back at school, don't skip math class. You can skip geography because Google will do that for you. And you can skip those things. Don't skip math class. 10, 21, you can count that high.
Too much fun. Mr. Kellner, as we wrap up here with your segment that was supposed to last 15 minutes and we've gone well over a half hour, you are an amazing man.
Let me tell you something. A lot of younger girls will tell you too. If they expect 15 minutes, I give them at least half an hour. I want to finish by giving your viewers some offers and incentives. So we've set up the promo code Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S. That's English. That's spelling class, Jake. I know you got your name almost down. I want to give you guys some offers. So when you go to coolbet.com and you use that promo code to sign up, we're going to give you a match deposit bonus of up to 100% deposit bonus, up to $200. But for people that sign up in the next week, I'm going to be able, because now as their Canadian ambassador, I'm going to have promo gifts potentially for some nice free play in your sports betting account, entries into some satellites and some smaller buy-ins of the poker account. There is full casino. So after when you're sitting there and degen sorrow after you made a bad move in the poker, you can go and hit some slots and hit the three ladies or whatever you need to do. So use that promo code Hughes at coolbet.com, and we've got some great merchandise. It is a fantastic website, sophisticated sportsbook site. I love it. I'm going to create some incentives where we can build some free rolls to come and play poker. So you'll be able to play poker against Kevin, against Jake, and against myself. Any of your viewers knock me out, we're going to have some great bounty prizes, but we're going to be giving away trips. We're going to be giving, I'm off next to Malta for the Malta Poker Festival, and then from there to Monte Carlo to play the EPT 5,000 euro main event and the 3,000 euro mystery bounty. So I want to give you guys a way to learn. We're going to continue giving you educational tips how to be a better gambler. Take the risk out of gambling and be smart and get value by following this show to at least one of the best looking guys in sports podcasting. I'll let you guys figure it out. But you know, I'm a beauty when I'm on your show, so we'll try and get your female viewership up. Jake, I'm going to buy you that black book right away. I just decided. I think it's time.
Kelly, thank you so much. My God, you make my job easy when you come on the show because I don't have to say anything.
I'm gonna send an email in that I think, Kevin, you should get a raise after tonight's performance. You really were masterful with the way you handled it. Go to CoolBet. Follow these guys on social media. You can follow me at Kelstermania. There's only one L in Kelstermania. You're going to see some great. I'm going to show you guys how you win your way into these big trips and have a great experience traveling the world. Great meals, great fun, great people, having some great fans. Avoid people that are evil, that are toxic, that think that they're bullies in the world. I'm telling you, you can punch a bully in the face or let the police come and do it, as is happening in my situation. I am going to manifest amazing things, prosperity, consciousness. Believe it. Believe in yourself and surround yourself people that will elevate you to make better decisions in life. that's all I got to say. And as the sponsor and the ambassador for Cool Bet, I got to tell you something, boys and girls, stay cool.
Thanks, buddy. We'll be in touch. You're
thanks
the
so much,
best
Kelly.
Media. Wow. What a segment.
Yeah. You said 15 minutes, so I prepared a full show.
Yeah. Kelly, we'll call you after we're off the air, my friend. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Again, coolbet.com. Use yes. the promo code Hughes, capital H. U-G-H-E-S.
You spelt it that really weird and confusing.
I did, didn't I? You know, as I was spelling it, I looked over, I could see Kelly sitting in our green room, and I went, oh, fuck, am I going to screw this up right now?
Of course. But kind of breaking news, as we are on the air, the Canucks are getting ready to play for what possibly could be the last time the Arizona Coyotes before they make their move.
Yeah.
It does look like Artur Shelov is getting his back-to-back starts, as well as ooh. Elias Lindholm is back in the lineup for the Canucks.
Yes.
The projected lineups that were just tweeted out a mere 4 minutes ago, we have Joshua Miller, Garland, Hoglander, Pettersson, Besser, DiGiuseppe, Lindholm, Mikheyev, Suter, Bluger, and Lafferty.
Wow.
And then the defensemen are your normal lines on defense.
Very cool. I think we're going to get a win tonight, Jake.
I hope so. There's, to be fair to the Arizona Coyotes players, there's a lot of news that they're digesting right now that they might be on the phones like right before this talking to the realtors to be like, how quick is this house going to sell? How do I buy a house in Utah? And do I
our
need to get
cheaper in Utah than in Phoenix? Maybe.
And how do I have a personal liquor license for all the time? Because yes, in Utah, you need a personal liquor license to drink alcohol.
Thank you, Mormon Church. Thank you very much.
But yeah, so hoping for a big win. I was keeping an eye on
don't
the
look.
Other game that Canucks fans were hoping for a Oilers loss. Last I saw, it was 3-0. It is now 4-0 with 12 and a half minutes left in the third period. So
this is almost now a must-win game for us.
This is a must-win game for us.
Yeah.
We win this and we beat them on Saturday. That should, in theory,
lock
up for to win the Pacific.
Yes. If we lose tonight and lose Saturday, we could be in trouble.
We could be in trouble. And that's big trouble.
Yeah.
Looking at the standings, big trouble.
Big trouble. Little Texas. Yes. We're not going to go there. We're going to stay positive. We're going to put it out into the universe. We're going to win tonight. Everything's going to be good.
You know what's great, though?
What's that?
Thatcher Demko is back practicing with the team. He did a 60% practice yesterday. He was out warming up today, doing the morning skate routine. It was kind of awkward because Shelovs was doing the starter routine and Demko was doing the backup routine. And Smith was just kind of sitting there watching, which has got to be awkward and hard as a backup goalie.
It's happened before. I mean, how did Demko come into being our number one? Markstrom got hurt. Demko jumped in and proved that he was a starter and he was not a backup. Seeloff is going to be, is that right? Did I say that right? Seeloff?
There's a few different pronunciations. You are hitting the most Canadian one, yes.
Okay, good enough. Seeloff has really proven to me that this kid can play hockey. Like, he's a NHL caliber goaltender who could be a number one starter in a lot of teams right now.
I think he's going to be a great backup next year. I think that the team has really got eyes on him being backup next year, which saves us money if we don't have to go out and find that backup or replacement for DeSmith or re-sign DeSmith.
Or do we trade DeSmith or is he a free agent?
He's a free agent.
Is he?
He's only signed to it for one more year.
Oh, okay.
like till the end of this year. So, saves us some money on a backup.
Canucks are in a good position. I just feel so much positivity around the team right now that, man, I can't believe we're at the end of the season already to begin with. It seems like we blinked and the season was over. And usually the season drags from,
well, yeah, because it's from been Christmas 10 time years.
On. It's like, oh, I don't want to watch any more hockey. If it's on, I'll watch it. Allison actually made a comment this last night, night before. I was giving her a hard time about how many books she's reading. And because she'll sit while I'm watching a hockey game and read a book.
Well, she has to do something during those hockey games.
Huh?
She has to do something watching those hockey games because you've watched probably all of them.
I have. I've literally watched almost every single game that has been out there. So, yeah.
Bit of a condensed show today, so let's hit on some key pieces.
Yes.
We want to stay positive, but can the Oilers, especially because they're playing without McDavid, can catch the Canucks? We kind of went quickly over this. It is possible.
It is. Of course it is.
But it's unlikely.
I say I would make a bet with anybody out there, Raymond, that we'll take it. We'll take first. Of course, anything's possible, right? I mean, we're at 104. They're at 99. They're going to win tonight by the looks of it. They're in the third period up by four.
Yep.
Right? So they'll be at 101.
With how many games played?
101 with one game in hand only. If I add that two, they'll only have one game in hand, right? So they'll have five games left. We will have four games left.
However, we are playing tonight, so that's going to change tonight.
Exactly. But as of right now, our magic number is two. Any combination of losses or wins, losses by Edmonton or wins by Canucks, any combination of two.
Two and a half. I think two and a half technically because Oilers need to lose three.
True.
If my math is correct.
So two and a half. If we lose out, the Oilers would still need to win three of their last five. Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So two and a half, I'll take that. I'll take that bet every single day.
You know what I do like, though, is it's coming down to the last games of the season.
Yes. And it bugs me because I was supposed to be at the game on Saturday. And I know you're listening, Cody. Cody, I know you're listening, my boss. You broke my nephew's heart. You literally broke his heart.
Yeah. Sorry, I'd like to jump in. You broke the old man's heart as well. To be fair, you broke my cousin's heart, but you broke the old man's heart even more.
There you go. But it's okay. Things happen. We're having a big sale. It's more important than going to Edmonton to watch my Canucks.
Some sort of fan you are.
Yeah, I know, eh? What can I do? Moving on.
We talked about it.
Sorry, what do you think? Do the Canucks finish first?
I think the result is very heavily dependent on tonight's game.
Yeah, we were talking off air. Tonight now becomes a must win.
Yeah. If we win this game, I'm very confident that it's almost impossible for the Oilers to catch us. If we lose this game, I'm sort of panicking playing the Oilers on Saturday.
Yes.
Talked about that. Let's just jump right into my favorite segment of the week.
Everybody's favorite segment of the week.
Well, I think Kelly might have something to say because I think his favorite segment of the week is when he's talking. But everyone else's favorite segment of the week.
It's time for the old man predictions. How well did he do? Do do da, do dee do.
Last week, the old man predicted.
The other side let me down, Jake.
A 3-0
other side.
Did you predict a 3-0 week last week?
I did.
And we went 2 wins, 1 loss.
Not bad.
Not bad.
But they let me down. The other side, I should. I was going to go 2-1. They pushed me to go 3-0.
I'm sure they did. But I'm just. Hey, you're the one. You're the mortal vessel taking the blame for it. So.
Yes. Yes, I'm looking at
you. Since the All-Star break. Since the All-Star break, we have gone. No, we have gone 12-11-3.
We should just have kept track of what I went.
Yeah, that would have been smart. I realized that literally right this second. So
yeah.
Improvements for next year's Old Man Predicts, or going into football for Old Man Predicts.
Oh.
We'll keep track of how the old man is doing win-loss wise. But this week, we have the Coyotes, who we are playing right now, the Oilers, and the Flames. Another 3-game week. And then we come back next week, and there is only 1 game left on the schedule. We play Thursday, and then the playoffs start. So, before we get into your predictions, this is something that I wanted to talk about that I didn't put up on here till it triggered in my brain talking about it. The playoffs start on Saturday, the 20th. The Canucks' last game is on Thursday, the 28th. We're more than likely playing the Predators, whose last game is the 18th. CBC, the rights holders, Rogers, is going to want to have the Canucks playing on Saturday. Do you think it's fair to make the Canucks have to play on the Saturday, despite having played on the Thursday? 1 day off before the playoffs.
It just seems like the West continues, and I'm not going to say the Canucks because I'll be called an irrational fan. It just seems like we get screwed over and over and over again. Every time we turn around, a Western team is getting screwed.
Well, not just in ways that people are like, oh, like the cap or capture penalty and all that bullshit.
Yeah, no.
Just look at the travel.
Yes. Purely.
You're gonna have the Canucks more than likely play Nashville in the first round.
The first place team is going to get a 1 day rest.
And on top of that, in our series, we're going to have to travel 2 time zones.
Yes.
To play.
It's asinine. I don't get it. I just don't understand it, but can't change it. It's happening. So we just got to deal with it. I was hoping I could delay my picks and check to see if the Canucks scored.
They have not scored. I have the game on my phone right now.
Okay.
12 and a half minutes left in the first.
Still okay, here. So I'm going to go off. I mean, what the hell? Let's go. Let's go 3-0.
3-0 is a prediction from the old man. What was that?
I was flexing, Jake.
Is that flexing now?
Well, I wanted to get it in the camera. If I did that, I wouldn't be able to get it. Ow! I think I pulled something.
One last Canucks-related note. They're wearing their black jerseys, their black skate jerseys, again tonight.
Are they going to wear the black jerseys throughout the whole playoff?
So, when you go into the playoffs, you have to declare to the NHL which home jersey you're playing with and what away jersey you're playing with. If the Canucks choose to do their home as the black skate jersey, they have to wear those all the way through.
Oh, please. Please. Listen. I don't know what the record is while wearing the black jersey. But the friend of the show, Mr. Arndt, Wyatt Arndt, from the Stanchion, He's got it right. He wants the black jerseys back full time. Run it through the playoffs. Let's go.
You run back the skate jersey. You bring it back.
Yes.
You're the first team to have two different jerseys in the playoffs? Because you'll be wearing two different logos. You're literally wearing the skate logo and the Canucks orca.
Ooh. Why not?
Then next year, do you just bring it back? You go on a deep run here with the black skate jersey. You have to bring it back, right?
You have to. At least for one season. Even if it's just for one season, bring it back and let's hit it. Let's go.
As a organization, you're not going to rebrand for 1 year only. If you're doing that rebrand, you're repainting the skate, you're redoing all of the posters, you're redoing everything inside the arena to match the new colors. You're not doing that for just one season.
True. You're doing it. Do it.
You do it. Anything else in Canucksland that you want to talk about? I had all sorts of things, but I also knew that Mr. Kellner likes to talk, and I have no problem listening to him because he gave some really great betting advice there.
He does. Yes. Let's jump on. We did that.
The only thing left is the CFL news.
Yeah. That
linebacker and team jumper Sean Lemon has retired. Look, I pulled up his. I had it up here, and then I closed it while looking up different stats.
Sean the Lemonator Lemon has decided to call it quits.
Yes.
He won a Grey Cup last year with Montreal. 237 tackles, 101 sacks, three-time Grey Cup champion. Is that a Hall of Fame career?
Yes. 101 sacks, 100%. Three-time Grey Cup champion. And let's get this list of teams he's played for. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. He then went to play in the AFL and the Indoor Football League, then came back to Edmonton, then played in Calgary, then signed to the Steelers and the 49ers, then came back to the CFL and played with the Red Blacks, then back to the Riders, and then to the Argonauts, and then to the Lions, and then back to the Argonauts, then back to the Lions, and then back to the Elks, and then back to Calgary, then back to BC, and then finally signed in Montreal.
So the only team he didn't play for is Hamilton.
The only team he did not play for is the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Wow. Isn't that crazy? How many years did he play?
Started in the year 2011. I figured it out. Sean Lemon starting his career in Saskatchewan cursed the Canucks. He's retired. The Canucks are making a run.
And they say I take freaking giant leaps.
Look, all I'm saying.
Giant fucking leaps.
You want to hear about some giant leaps? Just go onto your Google machine. Go onto the Twitter machine. And look up all the New York Rangers 1994 similarities. They're not even joking. Even for me, who's like, okay, like eerie similarities to the Rangers in 94. Canucks, wait, not so much. Random events in the world. Like an earthquake hitting New York. Happened in 94. Happened in 24.
Seriously? I did. It just happened just the other day. Allison was telling me about it.
Like, there's a list. There's a list of things. My roommate is a Rangers fan. He told me about this, and I was like, all right. I started doing some research by myself. Look, if it's a Rangers Canucks final, we've already talked about it. We're going to have to tape off the sides.
You'll just have to come live here.
That's Airdrie's so far away from downtown Calgary, though, and that's where
it takes Ellison a half hour to get downtown.
She goes two times a week.
Doesn't matter. She goes three times a week. Her boss might be listening. Shush.
But that, folks, unless you have something else you want to talk about, old man.
Coolbet.com.
Yes. Check them out. I was playing around on the site earlier today, they have a bet builder that actually helps you build same game parlays.
Oh, cool.
So if you want to go on and just kind of be like, oh, I think this team's going to score the most, and we're going to have the over and the under. And I think every week we're going to probably talk about different betting terms.
Yes.
For people to understand, because there was a lot of terminology that Kelly threw out there that I'm glad you slowed him down on the round robin.
I tried. I didn't succeed. I tried.
He explained what it was.
But then that's
what he does. He promotes things and he does a damn good job. Because he makes me want to bet more.
Exactly.
But if that's everything, follow us on the Twitter machine, on X, whatever it is you want to call it. Follow us on Facebook, TikTok. Eventually I will figure out how to actually go live on that stupid platform, but tonight was not the night. I tried for about half an hour. TikTok, we're coming. I'm sorry. TikTok has made it complicated, confusing, and I don't understand. But we'll make it there.
We'll get it. We'll get it
sooner. We'll make it there eventually.
Just like sooner or later, I'm going to start a poll.
Okay.
And the poll is going to be, does the old man ever get a chance to say goodbye?
I think the poll should be, do you want to hear the old man say goodbye? I think that should be the better poll question.
Yes, that's a perfect poll question.
Because I think the answer is no. Like I feel I think like
the answer is yes.
I feel like they. I feel just like me. Oh, what a shot! Oh,
see,
I love
this
Garland.
Is why I should be able to say goodbye, because he's not even paying attention to what's happening in the show.
I am paying attention. I'm carrying a conversation, and Garland just stole the puck from behind the net. This is why we don't have shows on game days and game days on show days. But until next week, you beautiful human beings, have yourself a wonderful night. Mwah! And goodbye.